now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there? Yeah, man. This week for me has been a rough one. But you know, I'm tough. You know, I thug it out. You know how I get down. I will survive. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, I feel like though it's one of my favorite times. Fall is one of my favorite seasons, and it's almost like that commercial. I can't remember what company it is or what they're trying to get you to buy, but they hit you with it's the most wonderful time of the year. So you know, in this role, that's for Christmas, and they try to get you to Christmas shop and all that. But that's how I feel right now, because what I have is I have basketball season that has just started up. I got these baseball playoffs and these Braves out here trying to win a damn World Series. And I got the middle of the NFL happening right here. I got college football taking shape. I got everything I need right here. And I'm even keeping my eye on some of that MLS soccer just to see what the Atlanta United is going to do. But I have it all laid out right here in front of me. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So this conversation, I want to kind of get with you. We're going to talk college football because it's that time. Like I said, we're going to talk college football. We're also going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about the NFL. And I told you before, the Atlanta Braves are in the middle of the World Series. We are going to get to that. So, without any further ado, let's get to the conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey man, listen, before we even go any further, I want to start right here and say, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're a part of, be careful out here in these streets. Be safe out here in these streets. And I mean, whatever it is, whether you're out here hustling, whether you're out here working, whether you're out here, whatever it is that you're out here doing, sexing, whatever it is you're out here doing, I need you to be safe out here in these streets, because it's getting dangerous and it's getting real crazy out here. Also, in terms of the sexing, whatever you're into, whoever you like, you know, we don't discriminate here in the Commissioner's Conversation. You like what you like, and that's on you. So we encourage you, though, to be open and honest about whatever it is that you like, to be open and honest about whatever it is that you're into, and to be open and honest with your partner. Because if you're open and honest with that partner, even though they may reject you and they may not be into what you're into, you'll find someone in your honesty who's down with what you're down with, whatever it is. And I say that because, you know, I like to bring to you a lot of the stories that sometimes go under the radar, right? That sometimes that don't really get picked up a lot. And so I'm looking at this, and there's a story about a Virginia Tech freshman. He's a linebacker. His name is Issy Etut. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I apologize if I'm not. But this Virginia Tech linebacker, freshman Issy Etut, has been indicted on second-degree murder charges. Now, Issy Etut, who is 18 years old, is accused in the death of one Mr. Jerry Smith, who is 40 years old. Now, this happened in May, And the story goes like this. Etude, who's a freshman, as I mentioned before, at Virginia Tech, was trying to find a date. He was matched on Tinder with someone named Angie in April. Etude and Angie made plans to meet. They met, and apparently Angie gave Etude oral sex in a very dark room. Now, while thinking about this, Etude later began to question the encounter. He began to question whether he just got some head from a man or a woman. So, in an effort to figure out what's going on, he decides to meet with Angie again in May. Like I said, this time with the intent to figure out what it is going on. Now, while together in the dark apartment, Etude groped Angie to try to determine the gender while using his phone as a flashlight, and he finds out Angie was a man. Angie was Jerry Smith. Etude then began punching him and punching him to the tune of the medical examiner's office basically said that Smith died from blunt force head trauma, and Etude was indicted this past Tuesday. He was released on a $75,000 bond. He's under house arrest. He's suspended from Virginia Tech, from the football team, of course. And his new hearing is set for November 18th. Now, do you see why I say be careful, be safe, be honest? Because all of this could have been avoided. All of this could have been, could not even have happened if quote unquote Angie or Jerry Smith is honest about who and what he likes to do. He never runs into Issy Etude, because clearly Issy Etude was looking for a young lady. And Jerry Smith was looking for a young man. So now you run into this situation where a young man is trying to figure out what the hell just happened in a world where he's feeling like he's catfished, and he goes to circle back just to make sure that he wasn't tripping, and he loses it. He goes to punching Smith, and he punches him basically to death. Yeah. Once again, be safe, be honest, be careful. Because I'm sure Smith, Jerry Smith, could have found someone who was down with what he was down with. He could have found a real match as opposed to pretending to be a match for a young football player, hoping that he could possibly, you know, do whatever, turn him, do whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the intent was supposed to be. But I do know how it ended up. It ended up with this young man, Issy Etude, being indicted on second-degree murder charges. It ended up with Jerry Smith being found dead in an apartment from blunt force trauma to the head. Once again, I encourage you, be safe. I encourage you, be honest. I encourage you, be careful.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, in this fall weather, you know what you need? You need a nice hoodie. When you get out in these streets, it's not quite hot enough where you need to be in a t-shirt, and it's not quite cold enough where you need to break out your jacket. What you need to do is get you a hoodie and customize it. You customize it with my good people at 323_custom_apparel, and they'll put you in the game. Whatever it is you are thinking about, you want to match your shoes, you want to match your pants, you want to create you a whole outfit, you want to put a hat with it and your mask, holler at my people at 323 Custom Apparel, and they'll put you in the game. All you got to do is follow them. Check them out on Instagram at 323_custom_apparel. At Facebook at 323_custom_apparel. And make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
Really quickly, I want to get into a little I told y'all and my bad.
It's time for...
Y'all right, alright, alright. You was right, I was wrong.
Yeah, man, I told y'all Roger Goodell wasn't working for us. He wasn't trying to expose the league. I told y'all that. He recently came out and said that he will not release a report on the investigation of the Washington football team. Something to the tune of he doesn't want to expose the people who came forward with their testimonies and what was going on and who gave them access. And he also came out and he said that Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington football team, has been held accountable with an unprecedented fine, which I told you was $10 million, and having to step away from the team. And that's total BS. He still owns the team. The culture is probably still there. They're trying to clean it up. But how can you clean up a culture when you still have the same people in place? So he doesn't do the day-to-day operations. He's still the owner of the team. He's still appointing people that think and act similar to him. They got a brother in the team president, but is how much is he down for us? Some of the things that I've seen has been a little shaky, especially with this Sean Taylor thing that just happened, where they fumbled it all the way around. From the timing to the street where they took the pictures in front of the porta potties, all of this stuff, they fumbled this whole thing. So how much is he really down? But this just goes to show you, I told y'all that the owners run this league. It's not a players league, it's not a media driven league, it's not a fan driven league. It goes as the owners see fit. And the owners did not want to open up these emails and expose themselves and expose others to some of the racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, all of these things, to some of the same things that Gruden was accused of. They're subject to it too. They're right there in the thick of it. Each and every one of them. I don't care if you think, oh, not such a such. Yeah, him too. He's a part of it. He's a part of the conglomerate. But I told y'all that the owners are in the league. I told y'all that John Gruden was made out to be the fall guy. And I'm also here to tell you, don't feel sorry for Gruden. Gruden is well paid. So whatever compromise they came up with, I'm sure he's probably got, or he's probably receiving, all of the $100 million that he was owed in terms of being the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Also, I told y'all a few weeks ago at the Clemson loss to NC State that they still may lose more games, and guess what? They're losing more games. I thought they would lose to Louisville, and they still might. But I did not predict the L that they would take to Pitt. Pittsburgh at that time was number 23. They're now, after beating Clemson, they're number 17. And like I said, I'm predicting more losses. I thought it was going to be Louisville. And it still may. But also, be on the lookout for the game that they play against undefeated Wake Forest. Wake Forest. Wake Forest is currently number 13 in the country. And I won't go so far as to say, like, I think it was Paul Feinbaum who basically said the dynasty of Clemson is over. I won't go so far to say that. But I will say, this year is done, dog. As if you didn't already know. And I got a couple of my bads, but it's not really my bad. It's kind of like a my bad watch. You know, it's on the radar. It's tilting toward my bad, being my bad. And the first one goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I've been hanging on to the Chiefs. We're going to right this ship for probably about 3 or 4 weeks now. And they're kind of doing what I said they were going to do. And I said, I think it was a few weeks back that I said that they would probably get to the point where they would wind up being 4-4. And if you've got back to a 500, then it's a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new thing going on. But then I started to look at the rest of the set, at the schedule. And the rest of the schedule lines up as they play the Giants. We're going to consider that a win. I know you can't really just pencil it in, but we're going to pencil it in as a win. After that, they have Green Bay. They go to Las Vegas. They host Dallas. They host the Broncos. They host the Raiders. They go out to LA to play the Chargers. Then come back home to play Pittsburgh. Go back out to Cincinnati, and then close it out with Denver. Now, the way I calculated, they should win 5 out of 9 of those games. And if they finish winning 5 out of 9, they'll finish the season 9-18. And I don't know if that's enough to get them in the playoffs. But we'll have to see how the rest of this shakes out. So like I said, this isn't necessarily a my bad. It's kind of more like a my bad light. And keeping it in the NFL, again with my bad, Arizona Cardinals. We've talked about it weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks, how I am not the biggest believer of the Arizona Cardinals franchise. Yes, I know they're undefeated. Yes, Kyler Murray probably is an MVP candidate. But they just lost J.J. Watt for the season. And like I was talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs, with the schedule, Arizona has Green Bay at San Francisco, Carolina at Seattle, at Chicago, the Rams at Detroit, the Colts, then they go out to Dallas, and then come back home to play Seattle. And with that, I see 4 losses, which would probably bring them to a 13-4. That could maybe be a my bad situation. But I will say this, I don't think they are better than Tampa Bay. I don't think they're better than the Rams. I don't think they're better than Dallas. I think they're in direct competition with Green Bay. So if you're looking at them to be a championship contender, I don't think they're there, but we'll keep it on the radar. It could possibly be my bad.
Commissioner Gordon.
So a couple weeks back, I talked about Cincinnati, and I wanted to see Cincinnati in there in the Final Four playing with the big boys just to see, because every year you get a team, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Coastal Carolina, whether it's Liberty, or whether it's whoever it is, you get somebody who believes that they should have a shot to play against Oklahoma, to play against Ohio State, to play against Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. Every year you get one of those. So I want Cincinnati to get that shot. But when we were looking around, I sat here and I told you that Cincinnati was going to get screwed. Cincinnati is currently undefeated. And if they remain undefeated, I told you last week in a scenario how Cincinnati could get screwed. And that scenario was simply Alabama continues to win out. Alabama and Georgia meet in the SEC championship. And then let's just say if UGA loses to Alabama in the SEC title game, they'll take both because you'll have two top teams in the SEC. So you'll be taking Georgia and Bama. And then if you have like Oklahoma and you have, let's say you have Oklahoma and you have Michigan. Michigan is currently undefeated in the Big Ten. You have Oklahoma and you got Michigan who are still undefeated. They're going to drop Cincinnati out of the Final Four. Now, that was just one way. And I told you, it's starting to shape up already because Alabama has already crept into the top four. As the rankings stand right now, UGA is one. Cincinnati is still two. But Bama's three and Oklahoma's four. This makes it easier for the committee to take two SEC teams and put them in the playoffs if Georgia loses to Bama. Now, I told you, it could turn out, let's just say, with a one-loss Ohio State team. If Ohio State wins out, they may be pushing for a spot. So look at this. Ohio State is currently ranked number 5. They still have number 20, Penn State, this week at Nebraska. Then they play Purdue. Then they play number 8, Michigan State. And then they go to the Big House and play number 6, Michigan. So if they run the table, they already have a loss. If they run the table, what you're looking at is you could possibly have beaten 1, 2, 3 top 25 teams, something that Cincinnati cannot say. And then if you're the Big Ten champ, that slides you right in. Or on the flip side, like I said, Michigan, who's number 6 right now and undefeated, has number 8 Michigan State this week. They have Indiana following that. Number 20, Penn State, at Penn State. Then they go to Maryland. They come back home and they host Ohio State, number 5. So the two teams to really, really watch in the Big Ten is Michigan. Can Michigan win out or can Ohio State continue to win out? Next, you need to watch Oklahoma because Oklahoma, while being shaky at quarterback, Oklahoma, if they win out, their Big 12 schedule could possibly give them a bump over Cincinnati as well. They face Texas Tech, then they go to number 16, Baylor. They come back home and host number 22, Iowa State. And then they go on over to number 15, Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma wins out, and let's just say Michigan wins out, I think that'll put them ahead of Cincinnati. Because that'll be two undefeated top fives, I mean power fives conferences. And on top of that, look out, the ACC may have something to say. Number 17, Pittsburgh, Number 17, Pittsburgh, who just beat Clemson, is 6-1. And they have Miami, they go to Duke, They go to UNC. I mean, they host UNC. They host Virginia. And then they go up to Syracuse. And then if they beat an undefeated Wake Forest, who is currently, what did I say? I think Wake Forest is number 13 right now. If they beat Wake Forest in the ACC Championship, that may give them a little credit above Cincinnati also. Because they'll be a one-loss team, and all of a sudden, everybody is on Pittsburgh's QB, Kenny Pickett. He's jumped on everybody's radar. He's who everybody wants to see. He's reached the Heisman talk. He's a top five QB candidate. And if they can win out, if they defeat undefeated Wake Forest in the ACC Championship, they could have a shot at jumping over Cincinnati just because people want to see him and want to see what he can do with the likes of a Georgia or an Oklahoma or an Alabama. And then you take that and you flip that, because I'm telling you that Wake Forest is undefeated. If Wake Forest remains undefeated, if they beat Pitt in the ACC Championship game, their schedule and their affiliation with this ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, all this, this big conglomerate that just formed, they could talk their way into sliding into this Final Four over Cincinnati. They'll be undefeated. And who do they have left? They got Duke. They go to UNC. They host NC State. They go to Clemson. And then they go to Boston College. So just to compare schedules, Cincinnati has Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, and East Carolina yet to play. So basically, if you're a Cincinnati fan, if you're a Bearcat fan, you need Oklahoma to lose. You don't care when, you don't care to who. You need Michigan to lose. You also need Michigan State to lose. And you need Wake Forest to lose so that you can make the argument that you deserve to be in the Final Four, because at that point in time, if that happens, you and Georgia will probably be the only undefeated left standing that's in this top five, top 10 range. And so you can't be counted out. But if Michigan is undefeated, if Oklahoma is undefeated, if Wake Forest is undefeated, you might not have a case. You might not have a leg to stand on, and you might find yourself being left out in the cold once again.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, the holidays are coming up, and we're running up on Halloween. Guess what you can do? You can go out and get you a bottle of that Greenwood whiskey. And while you walking around the neighborhood with the kids, you can be sipping. So when you get back to the crib Sunday night, you feeling right, football's about to be on, you can sit down and you can continue to enjoy yourself and continue to enjoy your Greenwood whiskey. Guess what? Thanksgiving is rolling up, right? And guess how you should show up? Grandma's bringing turkey. Your sister's bringing dressing. Cousin making the mac and cheese. You show up with the Greenwood whiskey. And you will be just as valuable as the mac and cheese and the collard greens and the dressing. Oh yeah, the turkey too. The same. Christmas, right around the corner. Because it's all going to happen just like that. In the blink of an eye. Everybody's passing out, wrapping up underwear, sweaters, bow ties, whatever. Wrap up some Greenwood whiskey and give it to your favorite people as a gift. And everybody will have a happy holiday because everybody will be celebrating with you because Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
I mentioned before, the Atlanta Braves are in the World Series. They're playing the Houston Astros as we speak. Game one, they jumped out the gate looking good, playing good. Game two, not so much. Feel like they wasn't really supposed to be there. Committing errors. Bats wasn't looking like they were looking all playoffs. But one thing has remained consistent the entire playoffs. And that's the fact that we have to realize that the national media don't give a damn about Atlanta. They don't. I've had so many people call me, hit me up. Oh, you hear the commentators? Oh, they sound like they pulling for the Dodgers. They sound like they want the Astros to win. They sound like... We have to realize that our story doesn't change until we change it. And I say we, that's we as coaches, as fans, as players, as an entire franchise, until we change the story. The Atlanta Falcons story could have been changed had they not blown a 28-3 lead. We don't know what kind of snowball that may have rolled into. But it became the joke. And it became the joke because it was the Atlanta Falcons. And the entire league has looked at the Atlanta Falcons as a joke. And guess what? We added on to it by blowing the lead. They always consider Atlanta a bad sports town. And I think that's terrible. Like, if you look at Atlanta, if you go to a Falcons game, a Hawks game, a Braves game, the atmosphere is probably one of the best you've ever seen. I've been to other places. And trust me, it ain't Atlanta. We might be a little late. We might be, out and about and not necessarily in the seats. Because we out here trying to show off our outfit, or we out here doing whatever, trying to show out, and see who's who. But I've been to some of these other places, man, and it ain't what they make it out to be. There are very few places that are where they say they are. If you're in the Madison Square Garden environment, like you could see when the Hawks were there last year, you could see that's a wild environment. You go out to Philly and watch the Eagles play football, you can see it. When the Raiders were in Oakland, you could see it. There are very few places that are this ruckus, gives you chills, arms stand up hair stands up on your arm. I have to go here and be here for my bucket list. There are very few of those. But Atlanta could become one of those places. If you've ever been out to the Battery, you'll know that, yeah, it might be 50,000 people inside. It'll be another 15,000 people outside at the sports bars, in the standing room of the Battery, just where everybody's standing partying. But the national media won't write that. The national media will get out here and they'll be lazy and tell you that fans would rather go to the Waffle House or that Atlanta isn't the sports town. And it won't be until Atlanta wins the World Series and you have to see on television for yourself that this is an environment where you need to be. Nobody thought that Milwaukee would be a crazy environment like that until the Bucks won the whole thing. When you win the whole thing and you go on like a little run, then you can rewrite the story. You can change the narrative. If the Falcons could win, if the Hawks could win, if the Braves could win, you can change the narrative about the Atlanta sports town, and you can change how the national media talks about your sports town. Because for the longest, The Cubs were the lovable losers until they won, like, what, 2016? They were the lovable losers. They were considered losers. Boston was not title town, folks. I hate to tell you, it wasn't until outside of the Celtics. I'll say that. Outside of the Celtics, Boston, the Patriots stunk, and the Red Sox thought they were they thought they were cursed from Babe Ruth, from trading Babe Ruth. Think about how long ago that was. They didn't get good till about the last 20 years. Till 2000, until 2021 now, that's when they got good. And now there's supposedly this title town because the Red Sox have been winning and the Patriots have been winning. But go to 1996, or go to 1990, you know, when take whatever time period in life prior to that, and that wasn't the case. They may have been Patriot fans, but they weren't out here obnoxious like they are now. There may have been Red Sox fans, but they weren't out here talking as much stuff to the Yankee fans or to the, you know, or to anybody else as they do now. But winning changes that. Winning changes everything, and winning will change the narrative of the Atlanta sports fan and the Atlanta sports franchises. So I say that to say I'm pulling for the Braves. It's 1-1 series. It's tied. And I hope that they can help change the narrative about Atlanta.
Commissioner Gordon.
Once again, I thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I thank my sponsors, 323 Custom Apparel. I thank Greenwood Whiskey. I thank DJ Reese Boogie. And I thank you for tuning in once again every week. Until next week, I'll holler.
Okay, bye.